Thank you, Rabbi. This is a great message. This is a great portion. And I'm sure everybody knows it, right? The spies go out. And it has a great lesson for us. Maybe you've heard it before, but I'm going to try to give it to you with a bit of a twist this time that maybe you haven't heard. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you that you gave us your word. We thank you that you've given us all of the Torah. And we thank you that we can concentrate on a portion a week. And we can dig into it. I ask now that Ruach HaKodesh, you come and you give meaning through the words that I speak today. And may they all be true. And I ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen. So like I said, this portion is one that I'm sure everyone knows the beginning of. The spies go out. And the Lord tells Moses, send out 12 spies. The Lord tells Moses to send out spies, but why? The Lord knows what's there. What's he need to send out spies for? And I think this becomes a big issue as we go on, and you'll see. Now, according to many commentaries, the reason the Lord tells Moses to send out the spies is because the people asked for it. And that would make sense because, like I said, the Lord knows the people are nervous, though. They're asking for a little hint of what's going on. So the Lord agrees to send out the spies because he wants them to know what it is they're going to gain by going into the land. That was the reason. So he chooses the spies. Now, it's the second time that the Lord chooses spies to go out into the land. Second time he chooses 12, one from each tribe. Now, the first time was at the beginning of Numbers, when he took a census, told everyone, pick a leader of your tribe and make a sentence, do a count. And you figure these leaders that he chose were skilled. They had a specific skill set. They were smart. They were good with numbers. Well, the 12 that he chose to go out into the land were a different 12. They had a different skill set. They were strong. They were swift. They were probably military people going into a new land, looking around, figuring things out so that they can come back and give a report about how the land is. You know, this is going to be great. We're going to go in. It's got this. It has that. It has this. That was the plan. And let's take a look at the questions that Moses specifically gave to the spies. He didn't just say, go out, come back, tell me what you think. He gave specific questions. Let's take a look at the specific questions. They're in Numbers 13, 18 through 20. Yeah, all right. They're not quite coming up. I'll read them for you. That's okay. See what the land is like and the people living there, whether they might be strong or weak, few or many, and what kind of land are they living? Is it good or bad? Also, what about the cities in which they're living? Are they unwalled? Do they have fortifications? How is the soil? Fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. Came up. Look at the questions. The questions are, what's it like? The questions are, who are we going to be taking? What's the land going to be like? Are there trees? They're all factual-based questions. Are they walled or unwalled? It's a yes or no question. How's the soil? Are there trees? Notice none of these questions are opinion questions. You think it's good. You think we can take it. You think we're stronger than those who were there. Wasn't meant to be. These questions are not to be, should we go into the land? These are, we're going into the land. Tell us what we're going to get. Because the Lord's giving it to us. They were never meant to be questions of, should we? Maybe. Could we? There was never a question about it. He never asked them, do you think? These were forward-looking questions. Unfortunately, the spies came back with backwards-looking answers. This is a lot like, sending the spies out is a lot like a child who's learning to jump into the pool for the first time. We've all seen it. The child's standing right at the edge, the pool. Right in front of him is his father, his loving father, with his hands out, saying, jump. The child's there. Now, he's got two things he could look at. He can look at the loving father whose arms are out, have always been strong enough to catch him. He's jumped off the couch probably many times. But now it's time to go. So he can look at the father. Or he can look at the water. He could see something he's never been in before. He could see hitting that water, going under, and laying on the bottom. Now, his father probably already put a life vest on him and floaties because he wants double protection. His father's going to make sure nothing happens to him. Standing at the edge. Father's in there. Come on, jump. What's he going to look at? Well, the spies looked at the water. The father was there. The father was in the land already. His arms were open, saying, jump. Come on. You can do it. The spies looked at the water. They were discouraged. And they discouraged the rest of the nation. As they were giving the report, and the 10 spies were being discouraging, Caleb and Joshua jumped in. They jumped in. They didn't want that report going forward. Let's look at Numbers 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should definitely go up and capture the land. We can certainly do it. Couldn't you just hear him? Jump! We should jump! But by then, the people were tainted. They jumped in right away, the very next verse, 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we cannot attack these people because they are stronger than we. They spread among B'nai Israel a bad report about the land that they had explored, saying, the land through which we possess to explore devours its residents. All the people we saw were men of great size. Devours. It's like the child standing there and getting ready to jump, and all he sees is himself laying under the water. He had the life vest. He had the floaties. He had his father's arms open. The arms that never failed. But they only saw the bad. And they exaggerated it. It's a land that devours its own people. Who ever heard of a land that devours its own people? And even if so, God was going in before them. Was not going to allow that to happen. This is the same God who is still with them in the pillar of fire and cloud. It's amazing to me that they couldn't see that. The God who is still with them there was going to go forward with them. So what did they do? Numbers 14:1 tells us what these people did. All through that night, the entire community raised up their voices and wept. Now, let me tell you, the night is dark enough. You don't need to sow seeds of doubt. The night is not a time for you to raise up believers to raise up their voice and weep. It's a time to raise up your voice, praise God, and ask for deliverance. It's a time to raise up your voice and ask for power and authority. It's not a time to weep. Moses and Aaron knew this. In their dark time, in their night, and we're not just talking about midnight, we're talking about when circumstances turn against you and it becomes dark. Moses and Aaron knew what to do. Right away, they fell on their face and they prayed. And while they were praying, it was Caleb and Joshua who went back to the people and said, "No, this is not right." Moses and Aaron knew this was a time for intercessory prayer, that they could pray for their nation, that they can make changes, that they can save their nation. God was willing to wipe out that nation, we read, and start all over with Moses. But Moses and Aaron prayed. 14, 5, and 7 says that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the entire assembly of the community of Bnei Israel, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. They said to the whole assembly of Bnei Israel, "The land through which we pass is exceptionally good." Exceptionally good. Excuse me. Notice something. There were two parts to this. Moses and Aaron had a job. Joshua and Caleb had a job. Don't expect leadership. This is a nice little side note I'm going to give you. Don't expect leadership to do everything for you. They'll equip you. They'll put that life vest and the floaties on for you. But sometimes you have to go forward. You can't be a seat warmer all the time. You have to dig in, and then you have to pray, intercessory prayer. Sometimes you have to open your mouth to a person and proclaim the good news. It's not just for Rabbi to go out and proclaim it by himself. It's your job too. Now, the Lord cuts right to the chase. Numbers 14:11, right to the crux of the problem. Adonai said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me contemptibly? How long will they neglect to trust me? In spite of all the miracle signs that I have performed among them, how long will they neglect to trust me?" Now that word that's used for trust there is amen, not amen, that we say at the end of prayers, amen. Trust. It's used 20 times as translated as the word faithful. How long will this nation neglect to be faithful to me? That's his question. How long will they not be faithful? And it had dire consequences, right? Numbers 14:35. "I, Adonai, have spoken, and certainly will I do this to all this wicked community, banding together against me. In this wilderness they will meet their end, and they will die." Lack of faith. They were not faithful. Lack of faith. A lack of faith of Adonai is a sin. It's a sin. And everyone goes through little bouts of doubt, fear. Hey, we all go through it. What do? You bring it to the Lord. That's that night that we were talking about. You bring it to the Lord, you pray through it, and then you go forth in His plan. If you know it's His plan, it's going to succeed. You will have victory. Go forth in it. So why did the older generation have to die? Why didn't the Lord just, pardon the sin? Why didn't He just say, guys, come on, stand up straight. This is what we're going to do. Let's go forward in our parsha. Numbers 15, 30 and 31. But the person who sins defiantly, whether native or outsider, reviles Adonai, and that person is to be cut off from his people. Because he has despised the word of Adonai and has broken his commandment, that person will certainly be cut off. His guilt will remain on him. Defiles. So what does it mean to sin defiantly? Well, in the Hebrew, it's rumyad, meaning high hand. So you can think about it as, I know better. These people were saying, I know better, we should go back to Israel. I know better, the things in Israel are probably better than the promised land you are giving us. That was a problem, right? That's a big problem. If you hear the plan of God, go forward. Don't be swayed by the crowd. Don't look around. If you receive the word of God as a plan and things start turning dark and everyone around you is saying, But no. That's the time not to listen to them. That's the time to go back and listen to God. Dig back in. Now, let me give you a little example. Marriage happens every day. But here it happens recently. A wonderful thing. But what does everyone like to do when the subject of marriage comes up? You talk to that bachelor. Look what you're getting into. Tie down. What are you getting married for? You're always going to fight. Do you know how many people get divorced? What are you getting married for? It's a plan of God. That's not going to happen. If you listen to other people, you would never get married. 30 years this month, me and Eileen have been married. Now, what can I say about that? First of all, it's wonderful. But the spies came back and said, there are Nephilim in the land. And it was true. These people were saying, you're going to have fights. It was true. But that which God put together, let no man put asunder. The plan of the Lord is to become achad, become one. Don't listen to other people. This is a great reason that you congregate with like-minded people. People who will build you up and not tear you down. People who will tell you the truth per God as opposed to the truth of the people. Because the truth of the people do not match all the time with the truth of God. The people want to be crying, and they want to tell you how bad it is. You know what? Yeah, bad things are going to happen to you. But the plan of God never fails. He will bring you through it. The Nephilim were there. God was there too. He had a plan for them. Don't worry. Joshua and Caleb did not change their thoughts, and they were rewarded for it. Joshua became a leader and got into the promised land. Caleb got into the promised land and got his land. Let's go to Joshua 14, 7 through 9. Now Caleb's speaking, and he says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of Adonai, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him back, word that it was in my heart. Let me try that again. And I brought him back word as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my fellows that went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I fully followed Adonai, my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have fully followed Adonai, my God. I fully followed Adonai, my God. Now the NIV said, I brought back a report according to my convictions. What were his convictions? God is great and God never fails. That was his conviction in his heart. So he brought back the report. God is great. God never fails. It's a great land. We should go and take it because God said so. He brought back the report of his convictions. He had faith. Faith that his God, when his God says it, it is done. Faith. And we all need that faith to get through life, to get through our situations all the time. Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, the puffed up one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his trust. His trust, his faith, his conviction that God is always true and victory always comes through his God. Listen to this definition of faith I found in a commentary. Faith is the ability to feel so sure of God that no matter how dark the day, there is no doubt of the outcome. I really like that. So let me say it again. Faith is the ability to feel so sure of God that no matter how dark the day, there is no doubt the outcome. You know, here's the problem with people. Even some people with faith, when they're right in the situation is right in front of them. They're so close to the situation that they can't see anything else. There's no way they're going to see eternity like God does. They need to step back. They need that brother or sister to come alongside them and say, I understand. Let's pray together. You know God is great. You know if you heard that is God's plan, it's going to happen. So let's pray together. And that's what we need to do as well. That's why congregating with the like-minded people. That's why you should know the phone number of a couple of people here, so that when you're going through hard times, you don't turn inward and only see the dark. You can reach out and talk to someone who can speak a word of God to you. Prayer. Moses and Aaron went right to prayer. And we hear Moses' prayer. So, and during that prayer, he does two things. Two things Moses does during this prayer. Let's go to Numbers 14, 15, and 16. If you kill these people, all at once, the nations who have heard this report about you will say, because Adonai was unable to bring this people to a land he had promised them, he has slaughtered them in the wilderness. Moses reflects God's glory. He says, look, you're doing a glorious thing for your name's sake. But if you kill everybody here, people are going to say, your God couldn't do it. So please, God, do a glorious thing here for your name's sake. The second thing he does, he reminds God of his own words. 17 through 19. So please let Adonai show his strength, just as you have spoken, saying, Adonai is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Still, he does not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Forgive now the guiltiness of this people in accordance with the greatness of your loving kindness, just as you have pardoned the people from Egypt until now. He prayed words that he had already heard from God. And that is not a way of saying, God, look, how am I going to say this? It's not a way of disproving God. It's not a way of saying, what's the matter, God? Can't you do it? It's a way of saying, you said it, I believe it, therefore it's going to be. God, you said you were bringing these people into the land. I believe it, and it's going to be. It's great to pray God's word, right? When you need healing, pray God's word. Let's take a look at Luke 12, 13. This was a woman who was crippled for 18 years. When Yeshua saw her, he called out to her and said, woman, you are free from your disability. Then he laid hands on her, and instantly she stood up straight and began praising God. God, I know that when your Ruach HaKodesh touches me, I will be healed. Touch me, Lord. Touch me, Lord, and I will be healed. Your word says it. How about the woman with the issue of bleeding? Matthew 9:22. But when Yeshua turned and saw her, take heart, daughter, he said, your faith has made you well. That very hour the woman was healed. It was her faith that made her well. God, I know you hear the prayers of the faithful. I believe and I trust. It was her faith. Trust. I believe and I have trust that you heal. So I can pray that over myself or I can pray it over someone else. God, I have trust that you can heal this man. I have trust that you can heal this woman. You know, and you are a recreator. You can recreate every cell that's wrong in this body. So therefore, I know your word says that you heal. And I believe it. I stand on it. Your word says it. How about provisions? Psalm 81:11. I am Adonai your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Lord, I don't see much, but your word says that you brought the Egyptians out of Egypt. I believe it. I know it. You told me to open my mouth and you'll fill it. And I believe it. What's God going to fill it with? praise and provision. And I believe it because I've seen it in my life. I believe it because it says so in the Word. I believe it because I've seen others who were in need and prayed and got a job. Prayed and money from unexpected places started coming in. Prayed and praised the Lord. Built themselves up. Built the others around them up. I believe it. How about encouragement and comfort? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Keep your lifestyle free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that with confidence we say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What will man do to me? Lord, you said in your word you would never leave me. I believe it. Lord, I will be comforted. My soul will be comforted because you are here with me now. Faith in everything. Faith in our God. Lack of faith, the exact opposite. Faith, you get. Lack of faith, you lose. A whole generation died off because of lack of faith. A whole generation. God said, based on the last census, anyone who's 20 and up is not making it into my land. And they wandered for 40 years. Now, a lot of people think of these wanderings. God provided the sandals on their feet never wore out, and he provided manna. They think of all the good. But let me just say this one thing. A whole generation died off because of a lack of faith. A whole generation. And they didn't die of old age. The youngest person was 20. That means when he died, he would have been only 40. I'm telling you, out of the millions of people, there are a bunch of people who are only 20 years old during that census. 60 years old, 40 years old, that's young. A lot of them died off at younger ages. Remember, Moses was 120 when he died. These people are dying off at 40 and 60 years old. 60 and 70 years old. Joshua was 110 in the land because he had faith. We're not called to be the former generation. We're called to be that generation that goes into the land, built up with faith, knowing the plan, and believing in the plan. We're the generation that knows who our Messiah is, and that our Messiah died for us. And we go forth in the plan to tell others. We go forth in the plan that our life will be blessed and that we can bless others. We go forth in intercessory prayer. We go forth laying on hands. We go forth believing, trusting, faithful that our God is true. We can go forth in faith. We will always have victory. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you that you've given your word to us. And your word is that you will never fail. Your word is that there's victory in you. Your word is that you'll never depart from us and that you'll always provide for us. Father, I just pray that every person who's here today and every person who's watching on the streaming, that you would build up their faith that you would build up a knowledge, not just who they are in you, but who you are in them. Ruach HaKodesh, be that great strength within. Build them up and let them know. And then, as they're built up, go forth and make your plan victorious in all our lives. We just thank you and we bless you. In Yeshua's name, amen.